Our special guest, someone you'll likely recognize, by the way, gives his assessment of the economy. He'll also talk to us about the new 5G broadband expansion and what that could mean for the economy and you. Straight ahead on this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable. And now here's the host of Your Money Manual, the CEO of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and creator of the Household Endowment Model, Vince Annable.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Your Money Manual, the educational show we designed around the fact that when it comes to investing, your money doesn't come with instructions. So our goal is to provide you with some valuable information from industry experts to help you with your investment decisions. And today we have a very well-recognized industry expert. His name is Paul Dietrich, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Fairfax Global Markets. He's also an international corporate attorney, been an advisor on privatization, economic development issues to the World Bank, as well as several governments, in Asia, Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union. You may also be familiar with him as he has been a frequent on-air commentator for CNBC, Fox Business News, CNN, and Bloomberg TV, as well as a frequent contributor in the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, the London Times, and along with other high-profile publications. So this last week, I attended a conference in Nashville. Paul was one of the keynote speakers. I was so impressed with his talk, I approached him afterward, told him about our household endowment model and our podcast, and he agreed to be on the broadcast today. So this is going to be a fast-paced show, lots of great information, and we will definitely have to have Paul come back because there's no way we can cover all that he has to say in the allotted time. So Paul, we're glad to have you here and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vince.
So the current state of the markets and the economy, and a brief commentary on 5G technology will be the topic of the day. I heard a portion of this talk that Paul gave to the conference I was at, and I was really blown away by some of what I heard. So, Paul, as you know, we don't have 30 minutes or an hour today, and I have a couple of questions regarding the economy I want to get to. But before I do, would you please give our audience a brief look at what 5G technology is going to bring to us and to the economy?
Well, this is really the next great technological development that's going to change all of our lives. You know, you think about it, it was 1981, you got the personal computer, and 1992, you got the internet and Google. We got 1999, 10 years ago, only 10 years ago, we got the Apple iPhone and smartphones, something that's going to be bigger than all of those put together. The head of the National Science Foundation said that 5G will be the most important technological innovation since the invention of the printing press, and that's saying something. 2 months ago, Verizon was the first company to put in a small portion of downtown Chicago and Minneapolis, and those are the first places to have 5G. Probably most of the cities, big cities in America, will have 5G within the next 8 or 9 months. Most of the suburbs within the next year and a half. It's going to change your life. I mean, download streaming speeds to your cell phone will be 100 times to eventually 1,000 times faster than we now have with 4G. People will be able to watch all their TV programs live with no buffering on all their mobile devices. This will replace the cable and Wi-Fis that you have coming into your homes right now. It's going to make smart cities. I was in Seoul, South Korea about a year and a half ago, and they've had some cities that have had portions in 5G that they've been testing for several years now. And basically, they're taking GPS data from all of the cars on the road, and apps will be able to do things that you'd never dream they could do. I saw while I was in Seoul that they had an app and you just pressed it and it would tell you what the closest parking space was. you know, wherever you were, it didn't matter. Driverless cars really didn't work on the system that we have, and they were all basically developing the driverless cars based on 5G technology, which wasn't there. This will mean that drivers will have real-time data going up into the cloud, and actually, it's not just your car that will be beaming up what you're doing. It's every car around you. So if some car makes a move, it will be able to move your car because they're taking the data from all of the cars up there. And I've been looking at insurance company surveys, and they've been basically saying that once this gets going, driverless cars will be so safe that they're talking about that if you want to drive your own car, you're going to have to pay 5, 6, 7 times more in insurance than a person with a driverless car, just simply because you're more dangerous than the car. In industry, it's going to transform industry. I mean, so much data, so fast, it's instantaneous with no latency, and machines will be able to talk to each other on a really big scale. And 5G will make machine learning and artificial intelligence a daily reality for us all. The biggest change will be in healthcare. I went up to a conference up at Princeton University, and they were showing robotic remote control surgery by doctors in, well, one doctor was doing a heart surgery, and the doctor was in Alexandria, Virginia, and the patient was actually in Dallas, Texas. And so this is going to transform, you know, healthcare in rural areas and in Africa, all over the world, because, you know, in a small rural town, you just don't have a need every day for a specialist heart surgeon, let's say. But now you can have that operation right there in your town, but the doctor may be somewhere else, but still performing the operation himself. They showed us a little aspirin that had a video camera inside, and it's going to replace colonoscopies. They even showed us some micro arterial plaque busters that go through your veins and get rid of the plaque that causes heart disease, and it was injectable. There are wearables now that will be able to measure insulin without needles. There are other wearables that will be able to monitor every valve in your heart and all throughout your body and your veins, and send real-time data back to a medical professional if anything goes wrong. I even saw something that scared the life out of me. They were testing these 5G bug-sized drones, and they were flying all over the place. They don't know what they're going to do with them, but I could imagine a few horror movies being made with these bug drones. The military is going to transform military intelligence and work in space like nothing we've seen. And it's expected to add hundreds of billions of dollars to the U.S. economy and create millions of jobs over the next 10 years. It's going to transform apps on phones. We'll be able to do things that they can't even conceive of right now. So this is where we're going, and it's going to affect every single aspect of your life. And I expect that within the next 2 years, you're really going to see, you know, it start affecting your life.
Whoa. Well, folks, you can see why I was excited when I heard that portion of Paul's talk. But I know that most of you have some big questions about what's going on in the economy. So there's two big questions, Paul, I know our listeners want the answers to. Is the economy slowing down is number one. And the big question on everybody's mind is when will the next recession start and what might it look like?
Right. Yeah. This is the thing I work at most, is thing I talk about a lot on CNBC and Fox Business News. It takes a lot to turn around the entire U.S. economy. You know, the stock market flips up and down every day because of, you know, some tweet by the president or trade talks or government shutdowns or all sorts of political issues. But the underlying economy, it takes a lot to turn it around. And we've had now a historic 10-year bull market. That's the longest bull market in history. And I look at it like I looked at the two previous recessions. And there is no question that the economy is definitely starting to slow as we're nearing the end of this longest bull market, but we're still growing. I mean, we're probably going to grow rather than close to 3% like we did last year. We're going to be growing about 2.5% this year. Now, that's not necessarily bad. During the last 4 years of the Obama administration, the average growth was 2.2%, and we had a bull market during that period of time. So, you know, nobody should panic over this, but we are in the process of slowing growth. And I look at these leading economic indicators. Those are the indicators that come out that actually tell us when the economy is turning down, like 6 or 8 months before anybody knows about it. And I'll just give you an example. I mean, I look very, very carefully at monthly shipping numbers from UPS, Federal Express, the railroads, ocean shipping vessels. And they show year over year growth. And they're still growing. Shipping is still growing, but it is definitely slowing. And what that means is that people are ordering less. They're thinking they're going to sell less in companies. I look at inventories. When inventories start to go down, it means that companies are thinking that they better cut back. And these are the things that won't show up in earnings and growth reports for 6 to 8 months. And I track all of this. And what we're seeing is that it is slowing. Will eventually start plateauing and going sideways, and then we will start declining. And one of the first lessons of Economics 101 is that over the long term, the U.S. stock market always follows the directional trend of the underlying U.S. economy. So if the U.S. economy is growing and expanding, in the long term, the U.S. stock market will go up. Now, in the meantime, it may bounce around because of political stuff and nonsense. But in the long term, it's going up if the underlying economy is going up. If the underlying economy is going sideways, stock market's going to go sideways in the long term. And if the U.S. economy is declining, the stock market in the long term will decline with it. And so right now, the U.S. economy is still continuing to grow and expand, but that growth is definitely starting to slow. The big question is, and what people want to know, is how much time do we still have left in the bull market before the economy starts to decline and going to the next recession bear market? As I track this stuff and I look at where we are, where we were right before the dot-com recession in 2001 and 2002, and where we were right before the last recession in 2008 and 2009. And it seems like we've got probably 18 months or so. So that means that we're probably, this is going to hit either at the end of next year, 2020, but I think more likely it's going to be early 2021. And I wouldn't panic and get out of the markets now. That would be a very stupid decision because if you remember, right before the dot-com recession in 2001 and 2002, which incidentally, the stock market, the S&P 500, went down 49% during that recession. 3 months before the beginning of the recession, you know, we hit ultimate new highs in the stock market. And right before Lehman Brothers collapsed and the recession started in December of 2007, just a couple months before, we hit a new high. So I think that because we had not such a good year last year, and you know the markets are way up this year, but I think we're going to see another 8% growth in the S&P 500 by the end of this year. And I think we're going to see good growth next year. So, you know, you'd be missing out on a lot of upward trends in the stock market if you decided to get out of the stock market right now. So I think that's what we're looking at. We're looking at late 2020, more likely early 2021.
Thanks for that information, Paul. Lastly, as I know, you have a great deal of experience investing for endowments and institutions. You sat on panels with David Swensen, Yale's chief investment officer, and many others. We've talked about our household endowment model. So I'd like to see if I could get you to comment on, in your opinion, how you see investing in an endowment style model and why does it offer value and a goal of mitigating risk?
Yeah, it's all about risk management. I mean, I tell my clients, I mean, as an investment manager myself, you know, when the underlying U.S. economy is going up and expanding like it has been for the last 10 years, for that portion of your assets that are in the stock market, I try to make sure we're fully invested in the stock market. And then when the economy starts to decline in a recession, you know, I get my clients out and put them into bonds, cash, gold, whatever is safest at the moment. But as Warren Buffett has said, and this is why I love the household endowment model. I mean, I really think this is important. Warren Buffett has said, and you know, he's our greatest investor probably ever lived in the United States. He says, there's only one free lunch in life, and it's asset diversification. And that's what is the core of the endowment model and the household endowment model, is to be widely diversified, because nobody, I don't care who you are, nobody knows what's going to happen in every little market, whether it's commodities or real estate or the stock market or the bond market. And people who are only in one or two of those asset allocations, it's just not safe. And I always tell my clients that risk management is everything. And you know, if you buy a stock for $100 and it goes down 50%, which, you know, both the last two recessions we had in 2001 and 2002, we went down 49%. In the last recession in 2008 and 2009, the S&P over that whole period went down 57%. That's just, you know, people can't take that kind of loss of their capital. And that's why it has to be widely diversified in a large group of assets. And again, if you figure that by and large, the economy runs in 7 to 8, 10 year cycles of big growth, and then we go into 18 months, 2 years of a recession. But recessions don't hit everybody equally, and that's why you have to have this risk management of diversifying in a broad group of assets. It's the as Warren Buffett says, it's the only free lunch in the world, is that it's something that you can really count on. And it's so important because certain assets go up when other assets go down. You know, often when the stock market is going down, gold will be going up. You know, when you're in a depression, which we haven't really seen since the 1920s or 30s, but it's always the possibility out there, you know, cash is king. And there are other times when real estate and commodities are the things to go into. And you just have to have, and I'll tell you, it takes a professional, people like you and me, who we eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff, to really kind of help people through. Because you can't know everything about everything. And we sort of specialize, that's all we study, is all of these assets and how they react in different markets. And by putting together the right asset mix is literally the best way to ensure, you know, a sound retirement strategy.
Thanks for that, Paul. Thank you very much for joining us today. It sure was a pleasure having you on Your Money Manual. And we certainly do hope you will come back and join us again. Thanks for that little summary on the endowment style investing, because as you and I both know, and we have been saying forever, you really have to have that diversification within your portfolio of not only public, but also privately owned securities. So Paul, thanks very much. It was a pleasure, and we certainly appreciate you being here today.
Thank you again.
So to learn more about us and our wealth management platform we call the Household Endowment Model, You can check that out by clicking over to the householdendowmentmodel.com, where you can sign up for our free white papers. Also, when you sign up, you'll be among the first to get details about the release of my new upcoming book, The Household Endowment Model, Wealth Planning for Affluent Families. The digital version is due to be released soon, hopefully in June, followed by the hardcover version later this summer, so stay tuned for more details. You can also give us a call at Wealth Strategies Advisory Group. That number is 888-635-9724, or visit the website at wsagaz.com. For my guest, very special guest, as a matter of fact, Paul Dietrich, I'm Vince Annable. Thanks very much for listening. We'll talk to you again on the next edition of Your Money Manual. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Your Money Manual with Vince Annable, and that you'll share this podcast with friends and family. You can connect with us at Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and the Household Endowment Model on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And you can find Your Money Manual where the best podcasts are heard, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and a host of other top podcast channels. I'm Jeff Allen. Once again, thanks so much for listening. This program has been presented for the education of our listeners only and is not intended as investment advice, nor is it intended as a solicitation of investment products or services of any kind. We encourage you to seek the advice of a licensed professional financial advisor before making any investment decisions.